Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.com. These savings end soon. Don't miss this chance. Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.com.
Champions play here. WQAM Miami.
WPOW HD2 Miami.
WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. An Odyssey sports station. Home of the two-time defending Stanley Cup winners, the Florida Panthers. Home of the three-time NBA champion Miami Heat. Five-time national championship winner Miami Hurricanes football. And Miami Hurricanes basketball.
Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3.
That's 1-800-747-3733.
It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Seems can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Two of the program, ladies and gentlemen.
Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program.
I just saw the dumbest thing on Twitter.
What's that?
A restaurant. These four girls tried to dine and dash.
Oh.
Left their keys on the table.
That's embarrassing.
So the waitress picked up the keys, and when they came back, she goes, y'all ready to pay y'all bill? And they go, oh, we went to the bathroom, and some guys over there said, no, they not. We recorded the whole thing. So y'all making us look bad.
Jeez. Damage is done, my friend.
Listen, if you're not a crook or a criminal, don't all of a sudden become one.
Right.
You're not going to be good at it.
Whew, that's rough. Let us get two headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation. Just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one. The Miami Dolphins have just wrapped up their 11th day of training camp. No pads today.
Don't feel like it, right?
The 11th day, it feels too many already?
It feels like it. I don't know.
It's that lull time, you know?
Yeah, that's a long time, but it hasn't really.
Let's get to these preseason games, something, a little juice.
Especially, let's be clear. I ain't doing it. I bet you if I was doing it, it'd feel like day 20.
Probably. Some news. This is from Barry Jackson, Omar Kelly, and Claude Smalls from the Miami Herald, their Miami Herald camp blog. Jalen Phillips. He is back at practice after missing a day. We know that he had that leg whip, he said. So he is good to go. Other players who were out, though, center Andrew Meyer, who was filling in for Aaron Brewer. He's been getting a lot of praise from Teron Armstead, by the way. Undrafted center, UTEP two-step. Is he UTEP or is he San Antonio? I always forget. I mix those two up.
San Antonio. What do you mean?
The Fighting Cokers.
That's no, that's USTA.
USTA. Yeah, I mixed those ones up. No, he's from the UTEP. UTEP. UTEP two-step.
Yeah.
Like Tim Hardaway.
The Fighting Cokers are the Roadrunners, right?
The Roadrunners. Meep, meep. Yep.
Yeah.
Austin Jackson missed practice. We knew that. Cornerback Cam Smith.
So Let's chew on this for a minute. You know how I look at all these situations as opportunities, right? And if your opportunity presents itself and you ball out, then something has to be done because now you've shown that you're a contributor. But Cam Smith has never been in that spot. Every time there's an opening, he is watching football.
Yeah.
And so we can't make a good assessment of how good he is other than everybody getting frustrated with his production and they think he's really good.
I think Mike McDaniel said it the other day where he's just like, you know, you can't evaluate if you're not out there.
Right.
So they don't know, but it's also, I think, a level of frustration because look, it was clear they're going into a make or break when, you know, Chris Greer mentioned unsolicited coming into the year. He's like, we can't hold his hand anymore. So
they give you a year, maybe two, right? If you show maybe progress, not as fast as they want it, but progress. But if your progress is gradual and they have questions of whether you get it or not,
mm-hmm.
then what they're going to do is stop investing time in you because they need to invest that time in the people who are going to play. And it's not a knock on him. It's just a knock on the situation. If you stand in there coddling a guy who may or may not play, you missing out on coaching up the guys who are going to play. And you have that much time to get it all together with the limits on padded practices and stuff like that.
Yesterday, Anthony Weaver told the media, you feel for Cam Smith because you know that he wants to be, because you know the want is there, the fight is there. It's just hard to have steady growth when you can't be on the field. So the challenge for him is ultimately just to see if he can stay healthy and be out there consistently for us. But until that happens, obviously monumental gains will be difficult.
That sounds like coach talk.
It does. Well, he's a very nice man. It seems like.
No, I know. But I'm just saying that's kind of how you respond to not show your disgust and you know, just in your aggravation over the situation.
Yeah.
Right? You just pull that off of page 6, dealing with Pelaire injuries, and read the thing. Right.
Chug it up.
He really wants it. He really wants it. I mean, before camp started, they said he got to act like he wanted more.
When is the time, though? Like, we did see eventually, like, Noah Igbinoghi found something with Washington. Noah Igbinoghi
is an exception to the rule.
Yeah, so, like, I'm saying,
really, really, really young.
But if you get 3 years in and there's nothing, like, right. It's over, isn't it?
Yeah. They're not going to – and here's the problem. Who you think is going to be a contributor and who ends up being a contributor is not always the same guy, right? But you owe the other guys on that team, the organization, and the fans to put the guy out there that's going to best help you to win. And sometimes you have to make these decisions not based on who you like, right? But who is the productive guy. And so this is how, to be honest with you, this is how undrafted guys get in the lineup. Situations like this.
Yeah.
Like, they're the only ones standing. They ball out, and the coaches go, didn't see that. We might have to find a spot for him.
Well, that is the good news, is the Dolphins have, for whatever reason, can't draft a corner since Xavien Howard, but they've been very good at finding undrafted gems.
Right. And don't get caught up in, I try to explain this to everybody. The draft is just your starting point. The draft is your ranking as far as a prospect. It doesn't make you an NFL player. And so when you see, like, people talk about being undrafted and things like this. Well, the only thing that happens with being undrafted is when you do all the testing, it don't fit on the chart that they have to deem you a high prospect. It doesn't mean you can't play. And I think a lot of people, there's been a lot of quarterbacks who have been drafted in the later rounds that are now playing football in the NFL that you wouldn't even understand. Like, we think, can Dak Prescott win you a Super Bowl? I mean, just like, maybe. Maybe. He was a fourth rounder, right?
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson was a third rounder. I mean, we're not going to even talk about San Francisco.
I don't even want to talk. Yeah, I thought you were going to go with the man with the deal with the devil.
Brady.
Yeah, hate him.
Brady. Hate him. Like, so, you know, what gets you drafted highly is you look the part, right?
Yes.
These guys look the part, and that tends to move you up the list at quarterback. But it doesn't mean, and I wish people would get off of that, it doesn't mean you can't play because you were undrafted. Just means you don't fit the stereotypical look of a player that plays that position.
So I don't know why this didn't why this went viral yesterday, because this is apparently from a press conference like 10 days ago. But yesterday this started making the rounds, which was the start to Mike McDaniel's press conference. And
what's wrong with his arms? Don't his arms look extra short?
I think that's because he's got them rolled up.
Yeah.
Something,
but don't they look like just... It looks weird.
You should stand corrected. Good morning. False. Great morning. Let's go.
Why great?
Hmm?
What makes this one great?
Because we're another day closer to death.
That's dark.
Is he okay?
I mean, wow. You know what? You know what? You know what I like about that? Like, everybody was waiting for the Mike McDaniel 5-minute answer, and he hit him with the Stone Cold Stunner.
Yep.
Like, do we laugh? Is that funny? Is he serious?
Man, that's something.
You should stand corrected. Good morning. False. Great morning. Let's go.
Why great?
Hmm?
What makes this one great?
Because we're another day closer to death.
You hear me? Even in the car, they go, oh, Jesus.
It's like awkward laughing.
Like, but that's what you get.
Wow. That was something.
I would like yeah.
Schefter tweeted that out yesterday. He just goes, doom and gloom. Listen, that's going to become a meme if he ends up on that hot seat. to be continued. Sure. We'll see.
I just think he's just, like, sometimes we have to not take people so serious.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of those moments, right? Like, all right, it was funny, right? It was dark.
Oh, it was dark.
It was dark, but it caught the whole point of that comment was, did you hear the shock of everybody? Mission accomplished.
You know, it'd be a funny prank. It would be a funny prank if that, you know how like they have quotes on the wall all over in football buildings? If like one day the media, if they're gone this week because they're in Chicago, have the equipment people put that quote on the great wall day of the media room.
Great day, because we're one day closer to death.
Oh, man. We'll take a break. Michael Lombardi is going to join us later on this hour. We'll talk some footy football with him back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Want to let you guys know one more time, if you guys want to win those tickets to Zach Brown Band at the Sphere in Las Vegas this December, it's easy to enter. Log on to the Odyssey app and listen to WQAM for 1 hour. For more chances, listen every day and you might win. The winner receives a round-trip airfare to Vegas, 2 tickets to see Zach Brown, and a 2-night stay at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas, which is directly connected to the Sphere. Don't miss out. Log on to the Odyssey app now. This is a national contest. For more info, go to odyssey.com/Zach. That's odyssey.com/ZAC. That's how they spell their band. So don't get that wrong. Special thanks to the Messina Touring Group. Saw today, Leroy, is reading in the great George Richards column from Florida Hockey Now that Sergei Bobrovsky, he says, don't be surprised if we get an extension announcement in the coming weeks or months on Sergei.
He's got one more year.
This is the last year of his deal. His salary cap hit is $10 million for this season, but it was reading that they are that Bob doesn't want to go anywhere. They don't want to lose Bob, and that we could be looking at a 4-year, $8 million a year type deal, or maybe a five, six-year deal in the $6.5 to $7 million range. Not going to be $10 million, but that we could be. Now, the cap does go up next year. It goes up, I think, like $18
million. And they're cutting $2 million off of their cap number if they do it, right?
Yes. If they do it in that range. And I think the only other guy, George, wrote that's up for a deal next year is our boy, the polar bear, Nico Mikkola. So I think everybody else. So it does. It said it would not. It would apparently. We could hear something that that could be coming. Now they have been getting a bunch of goalie prospects, ton of them from Russia. Mm-hmm. Basically, getting a bunch of little bobs. But he turns 37 in September. So if they did a 4-year deal starting next year, it would take him to at least 42. Why are you looking like that?
Hockey contracts are guaranteed too, right?
Yes. Bob!
Yeah. No. I'm just coming to the realization with if I could think of a guy who I think could make it that far and earn every penny, it would be Bob.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just... 42 is 42.
42 is 42. It really also feels like
it's the only guy that I could think of that I would even take that chance with.
Oh, definitely. And the only thing is, I mean, like we saw when you made the Seth Jones trade last year, that was basically signing off that you believe this guy can keep it going. I mean, he's an insane person. He's already swimming in Russia, you know, doing 5 a.m. swims to get himself ready for next year.
Right.
But yeah, that is that does appear that the Sergei Bobrovsky, the talks are underway. Now, apparently what George writes is the real money they pay him is $6 million, but the cap hit is 10. They do signing bonuses and stuff like that in hockey. Okay. Where they paid the most of the money already.
Okay.
But it's still the cap number is the cap number on that average annual number.
Right. All right.
But I do feel like would they risk doing like a 6-year deal on him just to keep the cap hit lower?
No.
But you're talking 44?
No. Come on.
Man, 44 years old. Oh man.
If he gets you to 42, right? As a reasonable goalie. Basically, what that does is give you 4 years to figure out who your next goalie is going to be. And that's right, pretty much in line with all the other guys. It's
everybody else, yeah.
So that would also say, okay, where do we go from here? How are we going to build from here? Because now we have a lot of guys who are contracts are up. So it goes like this one, like this is definitely, we're going to keep this group together for 4 years by signing Bob. This is who we got. This is who we're rolling with. 3 finals, Stanley Cup finals, 2 championships. We're going to ride y'all. We're going to go all out with this. I'm surprised they haven't given the coach an extension.
Maurice?
Yeah.
I don't know what his contract situation is. I'm not positive.
If they fired a coach that made
it, I feel like Zito got one last year.
Yeah, Zito got one last year.
What is Paul Maurice's?
I would say he got another 2 years.
Paul Maurice?
1 year. So this will be his 4th year or 3rd year. He came after the first finals.
Let's see.
Right?
3-year initial. He did get an extension.
Okay.
He got an extension after winning the cup.
Okay. All right.
It said that his initial contract was $4 million a year. Mm-hmm. And but terms were not disclosed of the extension. I'm gonna feel like he got a cup bump.
A cup bump.
Well, feel like there's a cup bump.
Unlike Jerry Jones, they got him early too, because you know what's better than a cup bump? A 2-cup bump.
You get that three-peat bump?
That 3-peat bump? Like, and they're probably all upstairs saying, glad we took care of this this guy
early. You think he's got a three-peat clause? He's got to have a three-peat clause.
What do you mean?
If he wins, if he three straight, no bump?
You know what's crazy? Like, have you ever heard a team talk about contracts less than this organization or these players? Oh, no, no, it could have worked out. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
You know right away, you know what guys who are going to be here. When they say we hope to keep them, they have never failed.
But the only thing, like, it really does feel like, because, you know, Silly Sauce who said it? Yeah, he says we have Bob and Marchand at 42. Like, that's the only thing that feels like it derails it is if just Bob falls off a cliff. Because everybody
they got young guys, right.
Right, like, everybody Marchand, else.
Is... You can find, Sam Miscavige, he's gone, right?
No, he resigned.
All right, so you got Sam Miscavige, who is very Marchand-like,
yep.
Right? You got rid of your young goalie, but you got Seth Jones.
Yeah, you got rid of it's Seth Jones. And also, while Seth Jones, you're paying for a lot. I think Chicago's paying 50% of it, I think.
Yeah.
But the only thing that
I would say is that you had a goalie.
Everybody else, did Leroy go out on everybody else?
Leroy unplugged himself.
I hit the button. Sorry.
Okay, just making sure.
I hit the button on my mic because I thought it got unplugged.
I didn't know if it was a buffering thing or what. Okay.
So I would say this. Besides Bob, you got 4 years to get his replacement. And clearly you definitely have some confidence in his ability to last that long because you got rid of a really good backup or a guy who was up and coming. But you got to figure you would be put in a bad spot if Bob balls out for the next 3 years and you've still got this goalie who's a top prospect. So you got some point. Now you just got to do it again. Right? Well, so yeah, don't they still have, what's his name? That
Vanacek? No, he moved on. They got I forget who they got. They got a new Russian goalie. Like, they got a bunch of guys.
You just say new Russian goalie?
No, yeah. He's like, they got the son of, like, Bob's idol is, like, their new backup. And then they drafted some guy from Bob's home. I'm not even making this up.
Right.
I got to get the names. I'll look up on either George Richards or David Dork. The name escapes me.
But if there's one area that I would think, and I trust Bill Zito. Like, I'm not familiar with, you know, the backup, right? It would be goalie, right? We have names, but we're not really sure. We knew about, for the last 3 years, we always thought that they had a backup goalie that could go in and get it done.
Yeah, and they really trust the department, too, with Robbie Tallis and Luongo, obviously. Like, they do have some intellectual know-how there on picking the old next net miner. We'll take a break. We'll talk a little football. Michael Lombardi going to join us next. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, the channel, Miami 560 WQAM. So, Brittany, you touched base with Michael Lombardi. We're going to push him back to next hour, he said?
Yes. I'm still confirming with him, but I think we're going to go around, like, 12:15, 12:30.
Sounds good. All right. So, well, in the meanwhile, no problem. We will go at our normal space because it is Tuesday. Ergo, that means it is time for our favorite Tuesday game. The damage is done, my friend. Get to this. You guys know how it is. Go around the room. We'll say where the damage has been done. I'll go first. Now, I imagine you guys played last week. Did you play the viral clip of our president butchering Tua Tagovailoa's name?
Yeah, we did.
Which, by the way, I was surprised by, because I will give President Trump this. He nailed all those hockey names. It was some weird. It was some weird enunciation, but he didn't screw up Carter.
More practice, maybe.
Maybe. Well, look, Tua's Tua's name will mess you up if you just read it.
Yeah, you got to just say it.
But they have apparently come together with a fitness council that is going to bring back, I guess, the presidential fitness test. And so some of the members that they announced, Leroy, Bryson DeChambeau, Nick Bosa, Roger Goodell.
You weren't here when you saw the video.
Of the I did see the video.
So he's referring to the whole Bryson DeChambeau.
You missed the funniest part.
Okay.
You're looking at the president. If you play it in the right top hand corner is Bryson DeChambeau. Watch his face when he says Tua's name.
Oh, he's like
And so, you know, I had to tell the story about Zgugu.
Oh, yeah.
Because you did that look to me.
Yep.
And almost got us all canned because I was doing quiet laugh.
But Saquon Barkley was also one of the names mentioned. And Saquon Barkley took some heat recently because he was golfing with the president. Uh-huh.
Regardless of what you think about the president, saying I golfed with the president is that has nothing to do with being Republican or Democrat. It's cool.
Sure. But he was listed on the council. And Saquon Barkley, he comes out and goes, I'm not on the council. But I got to tell you, Saquon, the damage is done, my friend. I'm sorry. It looks like you're on the council.
You golfed with him. That meant you were on the council.
That put you on the council, right, dude. I'm sorry to tell you.
Right.
He goes, it was brought up to me, but I was definitely shocked when my name was mentioned.
And I'm going to say the damage is done the opposite way. Mm-hmm. My boy LT, he got on that list and he went up there and said whatever he said. I wasn't even listening because I was just stunned that, you know, with what he's been through and stuff like that.
Reminds me of when Stephen Ross put together the bullying council.
Yes. And he picked three bullies.
he was like, it was Marino. Tony Dungy's always on every.
Because you know what?
He's on a council.
If you want to give your council instant credibility, Tony Dungy does that for football, or organization, a television program, or any council.
He had, I believe, Jason Taylor on the council. And then he had, I think, Curtis Martin was on the council, strangely.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what? I don't think that council ever met.
You know who? I think, believe it or not, I think he used to date Toni Braxton, if I'm not mistaken.
Trying to figure, what was the official title of that committee?
I don't know. They never met. So that was like, hey, we're doing something to make it right. Which, I mean, the only thing you really can do is split the two guys up. That's it. Football.
The Stephen Ross announced in November of 2013 that he would form a committee to establish a new code of conduct. And on the committee, Don Shula, Dan Marino, Jason Taylor, Curtis Martin, Tony Dungy.
I would say this is that, I mean, football is a sport where every day your toughness is tested, either with words, either with physicality at practice, either with we're going to see if this guy going to, you know, defend himself or his fellow teammates. Every day you're presented with something like that. And depending on how you handle it has more to do with how the rest of your team receives you and not necessarily what the public thinks or whatever. So when that situation presented itself, I was like, you got to be careful with how you go about this because how you going to look to your teammates. I don't care what the fans think like and so that thing played out kind of crazily and people were knocking down the door to sign the bully.
We need that on
our offensive line.
Stunt Steve says an anti-bullying committee with Don Shula is funny.
who was not like everybody. but that's kind of like what this is with like, you know, with how this went. He got the names of some of the biggest stars in sports and decided to put those guys on the list. Cause I mean, Bryson, I mean, he's built like a WWE wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah. What damage has done for you, Jennifer?
Well, I've been working on trying to make these shows that are coming out on stream better. So I do not have a video for my damages done, but I will talk about it. So this past weekend, we had that monster truck event at Amerant Bank, I believe it was.
Monster Jam?
Monster Jam, correct. So a couple, maybe end of July, I would say, there was the monster truck jam, I guess. It's possibly not the same thing, like the same event, but pretty close, whatever. In Washington, there was an 800-pound tire that flew off of the truck while it was mid-stunt. And it flew into the parking lot, hitting a bunch of cars.
Whoa.
And that is my damage is done. It was really intense.
Is that, you know what that rivals? The dumbass that put his grill underneath his car.
I don't know if you can see here. So it's mid-stunt, and there it goes, flying into the parking lot.
Whoa.
Gee.
Wow. Somebody in the picture is getting fired.
You're trying to enjoy a show, and guess what? Your car is getting a show, too.
It's a true honor to have my car damaged by Gravedigger.
Woo! Cletus, did you see that tire?
I got myself.
Damn near got us.
I got an official Torero official tire. A great honor.
You know, if that happened in Florida, somebody was strapping that to the back of their truck and taking that wheel home.
They would call that a blessing.
I caught me a foul tire.
I mean, it's ironic that the Monster Truck Show would be near Davie. right.
Of course.
The truck that was involved is actually called the Veteran. Imagine
that. You can't have that at the Kaseya Center. People are too bougie down there.
Nah.
Yeah.
No.
Have that thing near
no, they used to have the circus road trip. We can't have the Monster Jam road trip for the Heat. It's like, why are the Heat gone for 3 weeks? It's because the Monster Jam is coming in there, dude. El Toro Loco. Oh man, I do think it's a fun time. I've never been to Monster Jam though. Have you ever been, JFig?
I have never been. I kind of wish I knew about it beforehand.
Brittany, you've been.
Something new. 1,000% never been to a Monster Jam.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm sorry. I figured
the only men she wanted to see driving cars is F1.
See, you're there.
Not
you
trucks.
Zero gets it.
Not
gets
doom
it.
Buggies. Not NASCAR.
No.
The only one. Have you ever watched the e-racing?
No.
E-racing? Oh,
why would I want to watch e-racing?
Wait. I'm sorry, Miss Brittany. I felt like I just insulted you.
did, Leroy. Apologize.
Holy smokes. I said, did you ever watch the e-racing? No. Like,
no. Who watches e-racing?
I mean, on the weekend, on Sunday, I peruse down the channels and I'll see it. They sound like
you and your perusing of channels.
Yes,
for real. You stumble upon
hold on.
Weirdest things.
Listen, that's what old guys do.
They peruse.
We peruse. Listen,
you said it,
I'm gonna tell you right now. I have a short attention span, and here's what happens to me a lot. I'll be watching something; it'll go to commercial. So if golf goes commercial, you can just flip around and then come back. You ain't gonna miss nothing.
Yep.
Even if you miss a couple of minutes. So that's how I started watching Matrix. That's how because I was watching golf. We went on commercial and I flipped the channels and I see something and I go, oh, yeah, I remember this. And I do that. Okay. But here's the problem. If I get into that and I see something cool that I want to see for the next 10 minutes, I forget what I was watching before. So Like, I flipped through the channels. Like, Matrix went on commercial. I was flipping through the channels, and I'm like, uh-oh, this dude getting ready to run out of gas, right? In NASCAR. And then he made it, and then I started flipping through the channels again when it was over, and then I saw, ooh, e-racing. Oh, they only got, like, 10 laps to go. Ooh. You know, so, like, just, I just, that's my Sunday.
Brittany, what damage is done for you here today?
It has to do with F1.
All right, what happened now?
Give me a break, give me a break, give me a break, because they're going on a 3-week break right now, so I just need
to... Oh, hiatus.
Yeah, they're going on a 3-week hiatus. It's called summer break for them, so I need to get all my F1 stuff out this week, okay? But my damage done goes to Ferrari because it's not the same as yesterday. Don't worry. Lewis Hamilton came out and said in an interview that he feels useless, that he's useless, and that Ferrari should look for another driver.
Wow.
And yeah, so my damage done is Ferrari because at this point they just extended, like I said yesterday, they extended their team principal, but they're making my boy feel useless.
Wait,
the greatest
F1
driver of all
time. Is he a
time.
Fat cat? Like, is he since he's gone to Ferrari, is he no good anymore?
It's weird about car racing. It has a lot to do with the team car and how they put everything together, mm-hmm, and the engine and stuff. Like, it's the driver, but
of course,
a lot of the failures,
you're as good as your mechanic.
Bad game plan, race planning.
Well, apparently, like, it just came out yesterday after, like, a debrief that during the race on Sunday, Lewis Hamilton had asked for upgrades on his car Saturday going into Sunday. They did the upgrades. He tested the car. He felt great in the car. And then before Sunday on the race, they reversed all the changes.
What does that mean? Like, all the...
All the things that he had asked to be changed in the car, they changed it. He drove the car. He felt great about it. And then the next day he got in the car and the car was not what he asked for. They had reversed all of it for reasons
that
nobody knows why. That's the problem. So I don't know. I feel like Ferrari has a big conspiracy. They're trying to ruin his legacy. I don't know what's going on, but I don't appreciate it. But yeah.
Isn't his legacy already set?
I don't know. F1 is like cutthroat. These younger people that are taking over.
They just move on to the next guy.
Yeah, they just move on to the next guy. And like there's so many new fans and so many new drivers and so many young fans that didn't watch Lewis Hamilton when he was like the best at the sport.
The dude.
So
I know what you're feeling. You know, Brittany, I know exactly how you're feeling. It's like these young punk MMA fans who have walked around and they all say that, like, George St. Pierre and John Jones weren't that great. And I'm like, I hate all of you.
Exactly.
Can't even exist on social media these days.
Yeah, it's the same feeling. It's like they all are like, oh, he's washed. He's 40 years old. He's washed. He sucks. Da, 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 da. Oh, it was only his car that got him that far. And so, whatever. He's a 7-time world champion. Like,
that's ignorance.
It is ignorance.
Because they don't realize about, you know, like, planning a race and when to pit stop and how that could just, you know, just screw you if you do something at the wrong time and end up too far back. I do like the 2-second pit stops though. Holy smokes.
Yep.
That's real, like NASCAR.
I know they were like, they told Ferrari, like Charles Leclerc, which is the other Ferrari driver, they're like, you guys have had the fastest pit stops in all season long. And he's like, okay, but have we won a race? Like,
wow.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So
they're really
wasn't
rough.
Wasn't he with McLaren before?
No.
Charles Leclerc was always
with Ferrari, yes.
I thought he was getting ready to leave. Did he switch teams or something? I thought he switched.
No, not Charles Leclerc, no.
No, not Charles Leclerc.
Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton was with Mercedes. So he started off with McLaren.
He started off with McLaren.
He got his first title with McLaren. Then he went to Mercedes, won 6 there, and then now he's with Ferrari.
I'm trying to sabotage him. This is a Christian Wilkins situation
really
going on with Lewis Hamilton.
I really do feel like it is a sabotage. It was a great – when Sebastian Vettel was driving for Ferrari and Lewis Hamilton was beating him – all the time, I think this is their payback on that one.
So they'll take the L just so he doesn't have success.
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. I'm just being a
bitter. She feels like her guy's getting sabotaged.
Yeah, I'm just being bitter.
By the way, speaking of reality TV, which that F1 definitely got more famous off of, tonight, training camp with the Bills debuts Leroy. Hard Knocks. Why, dude? You don't want to find out?
Dismiss it so quickly.
Hey, wait. Don't dismiss it. First of all, the Buffalo Bills got a little drama going on with this James Cook thing. I want to see what's going on there.
Wait. I think the funniest line in all of this was, we did not know he was going to do this. Yes, you did. The man, you think he just asked for a contract yesterday?
He just kept answering on all of his answers. He said, why are you here? And he just keeps going, business. Just like straight Marshawn Lynch, just answering all of his questions with business, business, business. Yeah. It's like, so I'm definitely, hey, I'm all here to watch a little Buffalo Bills drama unfold.
But this is like last week. So this might be before he did the holdout, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. They can turn that stuff around pretty quickly. They can turn that stuff around pretty quickly.
Do they do it every night or do it once a week?
Once a week.
Okay.
Once a week.
I guess how many episodes I've seen of any of them?
Zero.
Yes.
You're missing out, dude. It's a really good show.
I'm not missing out.
You're missing out.
You're constantly perusing.
Your interest in the sport is different than my interest. Can we just say that?
Why?
Because you like all of that stuff, and I do not. Like, you know you excited about something when you know you doing the commercial like the NBA going back to what, NBC?
Yeah, Hard Knocks just, because you know what, I don't care about it. Like, Hard Knocks just, it speaks to football being back. Like, other reality shows, like that NBA, they tried to do that with the starting five, right?
Yeah.
And there was one interesting guy. Jimmy Butler was literally the only interesting guy on that show. Like, it was Tatum. LeBron gave you nothing. Like, how do you make LeBron boring? It's like, because I want to be boring. I want nothing real. Like, no real. Here's five episodes of LeBron getting massages. You know? Like, it was nothing. The only guy who had anything of interest was Jimmy Butler. But that Hard Knocks doesn't matter. I want to find out who's going to make the team.
Yeah.
So good. It's good.
Hard Knocks makes me sad.
Why?
Because of things like that. Because of the fact that they make you fall in love with these guys, and then they cut them at the end, and it's so sad.
I know how that feels. Hey, I've never, like, man. And they're very aggressive in the mornings in camp, too. Like, you could hear doors being knocked on three doors down. I remember I was with a guy. I was staying with a young guy, tried to help him out because they wanted to keep him, but he was a knucklehead. One morning they came, knocked on the door. Boom, 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 boom. He said, hey, man, the door. I said, hey, brother, that ain't for me.
Never saw him again. And then I watch, like, preseason games, and, like, I see, like, the fourth quarter comes around, and you see those guys, and they make a mistake, and I'm like, oh, they're getting cut. It's done. And it makes me just – the whole preseason just makes me sad.
How does that work, Leroy? Like, he gets knocked on the door. Is it pack your bags immediately and leave, or do you have to go see coach, and then while you're gone, he's gone?
It's – you ever heard the phrase when you're breaking up with somebody – turn in your playbook.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So it's literally just bring your playbook. Bring your playbook. Correct. Then you go to practice, and then while you're at practice, he's on the outskis. They pack his stuff and he leaves.
Yeah. Or they go back, he'll talk to the coach, and then, you know.
It's not like that Love Island.
It's like a Love Island. 30
minutes, guys disappear. I'm telling you, when guys get cut, you just don't see them. It's like they disappear into the fight.
Love Island, man.
That's like we had the naked biker.
Yep.
The naked biker, I haven't seen him since.
Wow.
Yep. Y'all don't know nothing about that naked biker. That was the funniest and probably one of the craziest things we've done at camp. But
you just got to make your own entertainment, huh?
Huh?
Got to sit there making your own entertainment by day 11.
It wasn't even, like you get bored. Right? Because you have like 2 weeks before you do anything. And you get bored after like day three. And what happens is you have to understand that. So all the time I was in Minnesota, I had the same offense. So when you come into camp and you redo everything again for the new guys, you get bored. Right? You get bored. Because you've been with this system for 3-4 years. It's not a situation where new coach or whatever. Now, we did, I think the last year, we didn't have Brian Billick. He had gone to the Ravens. So, but other than that, it still was the same offense.
Dolphin Kane says Tobin likes seeing players want to call their grandma from Jeff Ireland's office. You can't say that wasn't good television, Dolphin Kane. You can't say that wasn't good. It was good television.
Here's what my problem is. We're taking something, the emotions of an individual, and making it entertainment. And I think that if we were or you were put in that situation, it probably wouldn't feel that good.
It probably wouldn't. I mean, here's what annoys me is all the GMs are cowards because the Giants, that was the best Hard Knocks I've seen in years.
And that guy still got his damn job.
And Joe Shane, you know, because he was such a bozo, now nobody wants to do it. I love off-season Hard Knocks. That was a gem of a show. Kills me that they don't have that. We'll take a break.
Especially when the team that you had the conversation with went on to win the Super Bowl. And the owner said, I'd hate to see him in the division.
Oof. Take a break. Stop! Get you caught up with your headlines. We're back after this.